That was refreshing again, wasn't it? I'm sure this has affected all of us differently. I can say that as this pandemic was opening up and they were beginning to identify that the elderly with underlying conditions were the ones that were at most at risk, I had to realize that I was born in 1951 and I have diabetes. And so I don't normally think of myself as expecting to die soon, but all of a sudden I had to realize that, you know, I'm one of those persons who could very well contract this disease, and it could mean my home going. And so it was sobering in that sense. I mean, when you're at this age, you do think about it, that you only have 10 or 15 more years probably in that neighborhood. But that's 10 or 15 more years. And so it was sobering. I can attest that I'm ready to go, but I'm not particularly anxious to go. But it made for some serious thinking. And as I was thinking about this morning and where the Lord would want me to go, there's a sermon that's been setting. I was assigned to bring one of the covenant review sermons on stewardship, and so that was going to be the next one I preached. But somehow it didn't seem appropriate this morning to have our first time back together talking about stewardship. And so I was thinking of a number of different directions to go and praying, and on Tuesday, while I was sitting in a turkey blind, I was drawn to this scripture in Genesis and the subject eternal truths. You know, when life is uncertain, life is always uncertain, but when uncertainty is at a higher level than normal, it's encouraging to have some foundational eternal truths that we can lean on to sustain us as the enemy would try to get us distracted by what's going on around us. And so we're going to be looking at the one little portion of the life of Abraham and Sarah this morning. And I invite you to follow along in Genesis chapter 21 if you have your Bibles with you. I'll be reading a number of scriptures there as we go through the morning. We're going to be looking at one little season in the life of Abraham and Sarah. Now, just a little bit of background. Most of you are familiar with the story of Abraham and Sarah. Abraham was the father of the nation Israel, that God called him in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. I'll read them. Now, the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And so Abraham and Sarah packed up and moved out of Ur of the Chaldeans and went to the land that God showed them. But a part of the promise was that he was going to be blessed with offspring. And so they get to the promised land in chapter 16, and they're there for 10 years, and Sarah isn't getting pregnant. And I can imagine after they settled in and got their tent established, that month after month they expected that Sarah would be getting pregnant, because part of the promise was that they were going to have this multitude of offspring. But month after month, year after year, in fact, it was 10 years, and Sarah still was not becoming pregnant. And so over in chapter 16, if you're in your Bibles there, chapter 16, we find that Abraham and Sarah lost their patience. It says, "Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, 'See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her.' and Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. And so we see that they lost their patience. They decided to take matters into their own hands. They decided that evidently there was some other plan that God had. I believe they didn't lose their faith. I believe they believed that God's promise was to be fulfilled, that they would have many children, but they came up with another plan. They didn't have patience to wait on God. And so Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. Then in chapter 17, we find that 13 years later, God spoke to Abram and said that Sarah is going to have a baby. It says at the end of verse 16 that Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael, and the first verse of 17 says he was 99 years old and then the Lord appeared to Abram. So 13 years later, it was 10 years into the land, and then Ishmael was born, and then another 13 years until God came and said, no, the plan is for Sarah to have a baby, and he's the one that the promise is going to be fulfilled through. And so when we get to our text this morning, it's 1 year later. The new baby has arrived. We're going to be looking at three eternal truths this morning that I think are demonstrated in this story. The first one is, God is faithful. Be patient. The second one is, you reap what you sow. Be warned. And the third one, God knows your plight. Be hopeful. So we're going to be starting with, God is faithful. Be patient. And this is taken from the first 8 verses. And this is especially to those of you who may have a sense of a guidance from the Lord, a sense of calling from the Lord that hasn't happened yet. May have to do with your marital status, may have to do with a call to missions. It may have to do with who knows what. But some sense that you have that God has laid something on your heart, but it hasn't happened yet. And you're waiting on that. But it also, I believe, will apply to those of us who are dealing with anxiety as it relates to this pandemic. The future looks uncertain. There's many questions that are unanswered at this point. What will the new normal look like? And how will it impact us? And I think one of the things that sort of stood out to me as I watched the whole world just come to sort of a standstill, it's much easier now for me to imagine end time events when a one world system and one world money and those kinds of things, as we see what a little virus could do to the whole world. And so the sense of needing to know and needing to have just a settled understanding that God is patient, God is faithful, and that we need to be careful that we don't make things happen or that we don't take matters into our own hands ahead of the leading of the Lord, but that we allow Him to lead us through these times. I think especially those of you that have businesses and you have employees and you have families that you feel responsible to support, and all of the uncertainties of the future, for you as well to be assured that God is faithful and He will, and we need to be patient and to wait on Him. And so the story in Genesis chapter 21, we'll find that Sarah conceives and she names him Isaac. He's circumcised on the 8th day. Abraham's 100 years old. Sarah rejoices and the child is weaned and there's a great feast. You can follow along as I read the first 8 verses. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abram a son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abram called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abram circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, so that all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abram that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. So the child grew and was weaned, and Abram made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. Now there's a couple, I think, important phrases here in these verses. In verse 1, you notice, it says, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. God told them what was going to happen, and he was faithful, and it happened. Listen to it, and God is faithful. It's one of the eternal truths that just has to be a solid understanding, a solid foundation on our faith. Listen to how Solomon prayed as he was blessing the temple. He said, blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he has promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses. In Psalms chapter 36, verse 5, it says, your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. God is faithful. Be patient. Deuteronomy 7, 9, therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. God is faithful. Be patient. And that brings us to the second phrase that I think is so important. In verse 2, it says, for Sarah conceived and bore Abram a son in his old age at the set time. You see, these two things need to go together. God is faithful at the set time. And that's why we need to be patient, because God's timing is so often so different than ours. As I said earlier, I'm sure that Abraham and Sarah were expecting every month to find out that she's going to be pregnant. And it just went on and on and on and on. And she's getting older and older and older. And her biological clock may have stopped. And so they lost their patience. But God's timing, their timing was any time now, God. We're ready. But God's timing was 24 years. 10 years to Ishmael, and another 14 years after that until Isaac was born. We have to connect with the reality of 2 Peter 3:8, where it says, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with God, with the Lord, one day is at 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And that's not the way it is for us. A day is a day. If you're waiting a day at a red light, that's a long time. A day is a day. A week is a week. A month is a month. A year is a year. And 5 years is a long time. But with God, one day is 1,000 years. So God is faithful. Be patient. And so again, to those of you that are waiting on something that you have a sense of God's calling, but it isn't happening, God is faithful. Be patient. And for those of you that are dealing with anxiety relating to this pandemic, as to what it's all going to mean, to recognize whether it's wisdom you need, whether it's direction you need, whether it's sustenance that you need, we need to be reminded of Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God is faithful. Be patient. Matthew 6:25 through 26. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And the obvious answer to that is, absolutely. Absolutely, we're of more value than the birds in God's sight. We're the ones that he sent his only begotten son to die for. That's the value that we have with the Lord. He's faithful. Be patient. Then the second point is, you reap what you sow, be warned. This is another universal principle. It's not so much a universal truth that encourages us, but it's an important universal truth that we connect with. And this is all related to the scripture in Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8, where it says, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And this principle, I think, is fleshed out in the next couple of verses, verses 9 through 12 of Genesis 21. Follow along as I read. This is right after this great feast, or during this great feast of Isaac's weaning, his weaning party. And Sarah saw, verse 9, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abram, scoffing. Therefore she said to Abram, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing to Abram's sight, because of his son. But God said to Abram, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called. So here we have this weaning party, and we have this 14 to 16-year-old. There's some debate about when was the child weaned, 2 to 3 years old when he was weaned. So Ishmael was somewhere in the neighborhood of 14 to 16 years old. And here at this party, he's scoffing. I think some of the other translations say he was mocking. Something was going on. He was making fun somehow of Isaac. And Sarah saw it. And in verse 10, she comes to Abraham and she says, Ishmael and Hagar need to go. And Abram was hurt. Here it says it was very displeasing. Other translations give it a little more power. One of the translations says it was grievous to Abram to consider having to send his son Ishmael gone and his mother and just kick him out. But that's what the consequences of sin is. Consequences of sin always brings a lot of pain. Abraham and Sarah lost their patience. They stepped outside of the will of God. They decided to make things happen on their own. And it resulted in a lot of pain. Proverbs 13:15 says, the way of a transgressor is hard. And it is. Most of my life seems I've been called to sit with people as they navigate the pain that results from the choices of other people. Sin always brings suffering. And that's what it did here. As you look at these characters, you know, you could look at Sarah and you could think, boy, she sounds mean. Boy, she's very uncaring. But I believe Sarah was hurting. I can believe that Every time she saw Hagar, she missed the prior relationship she had with her. Back in chapter 16, it talks about how that after she told Abraham to go into Hagar, the very next verse says, "And so he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes." And so this would have been probably a very good relationship. And I know in these next couple of points, I've left my mind run a little bit, but I think it's the kinds of things you might expect. That as soon as Hagar realized she was pregnant, all of a sudden Sarah became despised in her eyes. Well, you can understand why. And all of a sudden now she's the lady, she's the one, she's going to have a baby to Abraham. And Sarah could never have one. And so that relationship went south. And I could also believe that every time Sarah saw Hagar, she was reminded that Hagar is the other woman. She had slept with her husband. And the grief that must have been there and the angst in the fact that she's the one that initiated it. I could believe that every time she saw Ishmael getting the attention of Abraham, it bugged her, especially in these last couple years, now that Isaac was on the scene. Before Isaac was on the scene, it may not have bugged her as much, because it was only proper for Abraham to have a relationship with his son. But I could very well believe that after Isaac came on the scene, Sarah may very well have been jealous of the affection that Abraham gave to Ishmael. And if Sarah was a normal person and having these kinds of feelings, I can imagine she didn't like what she felt. Ishmael was certainly rain on her parade. But that's the way sin is. You reap what you sow. Be warned. And then Abram. We have every reason to believe that Abram loved Ishmael. In fact, in Genesis 17, 18, when God came and told him that Sarah's going to have a son, Abram's response was that, "Oh, that Ishmael may live before you." I mean, Abram was fully satisfied with Ishmael being the heir that would produce the children, the offspring. And we have to realize that Ishmael was Abram's only child. And for 14 years, there was a father-son relationship between Abram and Ishmael. I expect Abram taught Ishmael how to fish, how to hunt, how to catch a ball, how to do skills, the trades, and whatever they did back then. It was a father-son relationship that had gone on for 14 years. I'm sure that Abram saw the future for Ishmael and was probably already identifying what Ishmael's skills were, his bent, and imagining Ishmael fulfilling that. And now he's told by his wife, "Got to get rid of him. You got to kick him out." Can you imagine the heart pull in Abram's chest between his wife and his son? You reap what you sow. Be warned. And then for Hagar and Ishmael, not their fault. Hagar was just being obedient. In fact, it may have been quite repulsive to her. For all we know, she may have found Abram to be gross. And here she was used by him. Her mistress had decided to use her to produce offspring. Now, I know in these times it was somewhat common for this to happen, but still, if you're able to put yourselves in her shoes, all of a sudden to be told that she's supposed to go and be with this old man to raise up children to him. and to be used in this way. And then for Ishmael. Certainly wasn't his fault either. And we have no reason to believe that he didn't love his dad. Didn't look forward to the times when Abraham would do the things he did with his son. And now this little guy comes along. It's Isaac. And all of a sudden, he's displaced by Isaac. Can you imagine the resentment and the anger that Ishmael felt? We all know that Ishmael is the father of the Arabs. And I have to wonder if the anger and the hostility in the Arab world and the terrorists that come out of it might not very well be ancestral anger that finds its roots in this day. They're the innocent parties. And my heart especially goes out to the innocent parties. But that's the reality. That whenever there is sin, there are innocent parties that have suffered. And oh, the stories that I have heard over my lifetime of the pain as the result of choices that others make. And so you reap what you sow. Be warned. It'll bring suffering both to the person who commits it and to the innocent family, friends, and bystanders. And so this morning, you may be suffering as a result of the choices of other people. Maybe it's a husband. Maybe it's a wife. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's an employer. Maybe it's a coworker. Right now, maybe it's a governor. That you're suffering as a result of the choices of someone else. But may we all be warned that we reap what we sow. And so for those of you that are contemplating taking matters into your own hands, possibly stepping outside of the will of God, possibly taking care of your own selves in ways that are not holy or not righteous, rather than trusting on the provision of God, you're thinking of some ungodly ways to take care of yourself. One of the foundational truths is you reap what you sow. Be warned. And then the third eternal truth is that God knows your plight. Be hopeful. And this has to do with the verses between in Genesis 21, between 14 and verse 21. Verse 14, so Abram rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water in the skin was used up, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot. For she said to herself, let me not see the death of the boy. So she sat opposite him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. Then she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him, from the land of Egypt. Again, a couple important phrases in verse 17 and verse 19. Verse 17, it says, "And God heard." Verse 19, "And God opened her eyes." God was watching, and he intervened. God knew her plight, and Hagar could be hopeful because God knew her plight, and God had a plan for her life. God had a plan for Ishmael's life, and she could be hopeful. Again, to those of you that are suffering as a result of other people's choices, to know that God sees what's going on and to know that he will intervene according to his promises doesn't mean that he'll rescue you necessarily and restore you back to where you were before. He didn't do that for Hagar and Ishmael. He didn't restore them back under Abram's care, back in the flock with Abraham. They had a new normal. But it was a new normal that was overseen by a God who cared and intervened. And we can have that same confidence. Over and over and over again, the scriptures tell us about God's faithfulness and his involvement with those of us who are suffering or who are in the midst of uncertain times. And for those of you that write references, I'll just tell you, I copied the references that I'm about to go over, and they're out here laying on the table, so you can just absorb what the scripture says. And I hope that these scriptures will just find their way into your heart to give you a confidence that regardless of what your struggle, regardless of what you are suffering today as the result of others' choices or even of your own, that there is a God who sees and there is a God who will intervene. Allow these scriptures to minister to you. Psalms 37:10, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me." Isaiah 41:17, "When the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them." Deuteronomy 10:18, "He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow, and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing." You know, I think about, it says fatherless and widow, and that's basically who Hagar and Ishmael were. They were vulnerable to the nth degree. They had spent their life being cared for by Abram and the prosperity that God brought him. And now they're sent out into the wilderness with just meager provisions. But in the midst of that vulnerability, God saw and he intervened. Psalms 34:19, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." God knows your plight. Be hopeful. Psalms 55:22 says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved." God knows your plight. Be hopeful. Psalms 37:28, "For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off." Psalms 34:7, "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those that fear him and delivers them." 1 Peter 3:12, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalms 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Isaiah 40, verses 29 to 31, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Psalms 34, 15 and 17. An idea. This is a scripture that Peter was quoting that I said earlier. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And finally, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? So in conclusion this morning, the eternal truths that we need to connect with is, first of all, God is faithful. Be patient. To those of you that are waiting for some sense of a promise to be fulfilled, and for those of you that are anxious about this pandemic, to rest on the reality that God is faithful, be patient. Secondly, you reap what you sow, be warned. For those that are contemplating taking matters into their own hands, or looking for ulterior ways to take care of yourselves that may be outside of the will of God, you reap what you sow, be warned. And then thirdly, to those of you that are suffering as a result of choices that a husband or a wife or a child, or an employer, or even a governor has made, God knows your plight. You can be hopeful. God will see, and he will intervene according to his promises. Doesn't mean he'll rescue you. Doesn't mean he'll restore you necessarily. Doesn't mean that there won't be a new normal. But it means that he will walk with you. And may the multitude of the scriptures encourage you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I'm so thankful this morning for your word. I'm so thankful for the way we can look at your word and we can find from the stories of the patriarchs ways in which you become involved in their lives. And some foundational eternal truths that we can rest on in uncertain days. So I pray, Lord, that you would take these thoughts, take these verses, and that you would establish them in our hearts, that when the enemy wants to distract us and get us to not trust in you, get us to devise our own plans, get us to become sort of overwhelmed with our circumstances, that we can remember that you are faithful and we need to be patient, and that we will reap what we sow, and that we can be hopeful because you know our plight. So would you sustain us? Would you nurture us to this end? Through Christ I pray. Amen.